Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you, singing Alleluia, Alleluia.
Welcome to the Go and Teach Bible Study broadcast presented by the Monte Vista Church of Christ in Phoenix, Arizona. I'm Ken Leach, preacher at Monte Vista, and your host for the next 30 minutes or so. The great prophet Isaiah once said, "Come, let us reason together." That expresses well what I hope to achieve on these radio programs.
This is the third in a series of lessons concerning the religion of Islam. If you would like copies of our first two lessons, simply go to our website at www.MontaVistaCoc.com, and you'll be directed on how to order free of charge the CDs, the two first lessons. We invite you now to continue to consider this Islamic religion that permeates at least 1/6 of all the people of religion in the world. Somewhere close to 1 billion people that believe in this religion. We are dealing with the definition of Islamic terms. Last week, we concluded our study by introducing the 5 articles of faith in the Islamic religion. The first was that there is only one true God, and his name is Allah. The second, the existence of angels is a basic doctrine of every Muslim. Now to new material. Third, the third of 5 articles of faith is that there are 4 inspired books recognized in the Islamic faith. These are the Quran, which is considered the greatest of the 4 and infallible, and Allah's final revelation to mankind. Second, the Law of Moses. Third, the Psalms of David. And fourth, the Gospel of Jesus Christ. Muslims teach that the last 3 have been corrupted by the Jews and by the Christians. Let me repeat that. The Muslims teach that the Law of Moses, the Psalms of David, and the Gospel of Jesus Christ have been corrupted by the Jews and the Christians. The 4th of the 5 articles of faith of the religion of Islam is that Allah has spoken to man through many prophets. Brother Rutherford writes that the Shiites claim God has sent at least 124,000 prophets, others say 144,000. 28 prophets are mentioned by name in the Quran. 22 of those are from the Old Testament, and 3 are from the New. Even Alexander the Great is considered by Muslims to be a prophet. The 6 greatest prophets, according to the religion of Islam, are considered to be Adam, Noah, Abraham, Moses, Jesus, and Muhammad, the last and greatest. The 5th article of faith of the religion of Islam is, the last day will be a time of resurrection and judgment. Those who follow and obey Allah will go to paradise, and those who oppose him will go to be tormented in hell. The day and the hour is secret to all, but there are to be 25 signs of its approach. All men will be raised, the books kept by the recording angels will be opened, and God as judge will weigh each man's deeds in the balances. In addition to those 5 articles of faith, in our continued definition of Islamic terms, I think now that we need to take time to notice some facts that are presented by a historian named Maddox. He writes, quote, "Friday is the day of public worship with every Muslim acting as his own priest. There's a strict moral code that allows no gambling or the use of wine. Pork is not to be used as food. Muhammad would allow no images. Children were to reverence their parents. Protection was to be given to the widows and the orphans, and charity extended to the poor. Kindness was to be shown to slaves and animals. Wives were to be treated as property, and the husband was allowed only four at a time, but there was no objection to making changes within those four wives." Now let's talk for a moment about defeating this false religion of Islam. We've defined in details the tenets of Islam. Now let's show the error of such in light of the Bible. Truth is never contradictory. And since Islam and Christianity clash, one or both must be wrong. In his book on world religions, Brother Rod Rutherford showed the error of Islam concerning God, the Quran, and Jesus Christ. In this study, I want to notice with you the main points that he highlighted in his third lesson on Islam. And that is Allah versus Jehovah. Let's take a look at a comparison of Allah versus Jehovah God. Muslims, as we have said before, believe in only one God, but their idea of God is so different from what the Bible teaches. Muslims never think of God as the Father. However, the scriptures teach, quote, "After this manner, therefore pray thee, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name," Matthew 6 and verse 9. Muslims do not love God. They fear him, and they think of him as a judge. The scriptures teach us that God is love. He that loveth not knoweth not God, or he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love, 1 John 4 and verse 8. There is no grace in Islam as salvation. There is a salvation, but it is totally by works. It is without grace. The Bible teaches the doctrine of salvation by grace. It was through God's grace that we received His Word. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the Word of His grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all them that are sanctified, Acts 20 and verse 32. You and I also learn that it was the grace of God that Jesus died for all. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with a glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man, Hebrews 2 and verse 9. Paul revealed that we're saved by grace, but it requires our faith or our obedience. Nowhere in the Bible is there taught a doctrine of being saved by grace or faith alone. In Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9, the Bible reads, "For by grace you were saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Muslims believe that God is arbitrary and the cause of both good and evil. So get it now, Muslims believe that God causes good and God causes evil, and he does that in an arbitrary manner. They believe in fate. They believe in predestination. They call it kismet. No matter what happens, they say it's Allah's will. The Quran reveals that Allah deceives people on purpose. Listen, quote, "Allah leads astray whom he pleases and guides whom he pleases, and no one knows the host of the Lord save himself. And every man's destiny we have fastened upon his neck," unquote. Did you get that? The Islamic religion believes that Allah, their one God, deceives people, and he does that in a premeditated way. Muslims have very little incentive to improve themselves because they feel that they can't change things. They see Allah will do what He pleases no matter of what they are, or what they would be, or what they will be. Muslims misunderstand the Godhead. They accuse Christians of believing in three gods, the Father, Jesus' Son, and the Virgin Mary. The Bible clearly reveals there is one Godhead, but it's composed of three distinct individuals. Paul wrote in Romans 1 and verse 20, "For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." Paul claimed that the Gentiles should have seen the creation and known it was evidence of the work of the Godhead. God the Father designed the universe, Genesis 1 and verse 1. God the Word was active in agency in its creation, John 1 verse 1 through 3, Colossians 1 and verse 16, Revelation 3 and verse 14. And God the Holy Spirit garnished the heavens, Job 26 and verse 13. Let's compare the Quran with the Bible. Quran means to recite, or the thing read. The Quran is divided into 114 chapters, organized from the shortest to the longest. Part of it was written in Muhammad's lifetime, and the rest of it was written after his death. The Hadith contains other traditions and additional sayings of Muhammad as we have studied in earlier programs. The Muslims believe the Law of Moses, the Psalms of David, and the Gospel of Christ are additional revelations from God, but that they've been corrupted by the Jews and the Christians. The Muslims teach that translating a book corrupts it, so the only pure Quran is the one that is in its original Arabic. To be able to convert a Muslim, one needs to be aware of the inspiration of the Bible and to be able to give sufficient evidence for that inspiration. Can you do that? Let's think for a moment about Muhammad versus Jesus. The Muslims reject the idea that God had a son, and that son died for all mankind, though Scripture teaches that so clearly, John 3:16, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21. There is simply no contest between Muhammad and Jesus. Notice, if you would, the following information, and look for the contrast between Muhammad and Jesus in light of the Bible. First of all, the Quran represents Muhammad as the last and the greatest of prophets. The Bible presents Jesus as a prophet who was to come and to whom all should give heed, Deuteronomy 18, verse 15, Deuteronomy 18, verse 19, Acts 3, verse 18 beginning and going through verse 26, Hebrews 1, verse 1 through 3. In the examination of Muhammad, we see that Muhammad admitted that he was a sinner. The Quran speaks of his confessing his sins. But in our examination of Jesus, the Bible teaches that Jesus never sinned even one time. 1 Peter 2, verse 22, Hebrews 4, and verse 15. When we examine Muhammad, we see that Muhammad himself admits that he was only a man. But Jesus claimed equality with God, John 8, verse 58 and 59, John 10, and verse 30. Muhammad declined the worship of men. Jesus accepted the worship, seeing that he is God, Revelation 4 and verse 11. The Muslims teach that man can only come to God through acceptance of Muhammad as his prophet. The Bible teaches that Jesus is the only way to God, John 14 and verse 6, Acts 4 verse 11 and 12. The Muslims say that Muhammad is God's last spokesman to man. The Bible says that Jesus was, Hebrews 1, verse 11, or verse 1 through 3. The Muslims deny that Jesus was crucified. The Quran says They slew him not, nor crucified him, but it appeared so to them. Surah, chapter 4, verse 157. The Muslims believed Judas was crucified instead of Jesus. But the Bible reveals that the apostles labored to preach only the crucified and resurrected Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 23, 1 Corinthians 2, verse 2, Acts 17, verse 3. The Muslims believe that Jesus will one day return to earth, that he'll marry, have children, propagate Islam throughout the world, and be killed and raised again. The Bible teaches that Christ will no more come in flesh, and that his second coming will be to raise the dead, to judge the world, and destroy the earth. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 through 18. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 and 10. John 5, verse 28 and 29. The Muslims teach that Muhammad died and remains dead. The Bible teaches that Jesus died and rose again and is alive forevermore. Revelation 1 and verse 18. The Muslims have a distorted concept of heaven. They believe heaven is a continuation of earth, all of its sensual pleasures, and the absence of sin. They believe marrying and childbirth will continue in heaven with each faithful male Muslim possessing a harem of beautiful women. Christians, that's us. We must be armed and ready, that spiritually, for the battle that lies ahead. It's coming. Islam presents a great challenge to the Lord's church in the future. The threat of violence and persecution certainly looms ahead for the soldiers of the cross. Men such as Malcolm X, Louis Farrakhan, have done so much over the past few years to promote the religion of Islam in the United States. Malcolm X was killed on February 21, 1965, as he spoke in Harlem. He had been a person who promoted violence, and he died a violent death. His inspired followers, those that he turned on to this system of religion, still follow in his steps. Louis Farrakhan is the leading spokesman for the nation of Israel even today. The conversion rate to Islam is estimated at about 135,000 people per year. If we use those figures, then by this year, 2010, there'll be about 16 million Muslims in this country. Consider that. I lived in a little town and taught and preached there for 5 years. The town's called Plainfield, Indiana. Plainfield, Indiana is about 30 miles west of Indianapolis. A lot of nice things in Plainfield, Indiana. I think that it's a pure middle America. People stand and take their hats off when a funeral procession comes by. People stand and take their hats off, and tears run down their cheeks when the Star Spangled Banner is sung. But there's also something else in Plainfield. There's the North American headquarters for the Islamic Society. There's a mosque in Plainfield, Indiana. It has a barbed wire fence around it. There are cars there. There are people that go to it every day that do things that I don't know about. But there are people therein that believe the things about which we have been speaking. They are not under any kind of control to keep from publishing and pushing their beliefs. The jihad is real with them. It's a threat. as a faithful soldier of Jesus Christ, as a faithful soldier of the cross, we have to be aware of the potential for radical Muslims to try and force their religious views. Especially, I think, when the numbers become larger, the threat will increase. We see that even today, don't we? There are even those that feel the threats of this radical religion permeating even the highest parts of our government. The predominant group among Muslims in the United States are Afro-Americans, the immigrant communities, which come from a great variety of countries stretching from Eastern Europe to Cambodia, and virtually every country in between comprise the next largest group. Islam, my friend, is a religion foreign to the scriptures. It is perhaps the only world religion that possesses very serious physical danger to Christianity. While other religions are content to coexist with Christianity, the very nature, the very core and background of Islam centers is on being zealous for Allah, even if it takes violence to accomplish that. And they say, so be it. You and I would do well to remember the fact that the Lord has always purged His people when His people forsake Him. And as we look at the Lord's church today, truly, I think we see the forsaking taking place. I wonder, don't you, if this could be the tool that the Lord would use for the purging? I suppose only time will tell. But we need to prepare and we need to be ready so that we can defend Christianity and defeat the forces of evil, don't we? Are we a people that only talk a good game? Are we a people that are willing to stand on the front line of battle and defend to the death the cause of Christ? That which is in balance is the souls of men. We need to remember, my friend, the words of our Lord. Then saith He unto His disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that He will send forth laborers to His harvest. Matthew chapter 9, verse 37 and 38. Those who assemble for worship at 2202 North 40th Street in Phoenix, Arizona, at a place to worship God on the first day of week, the called out, or the ecclesia, the church of Christ, come before you this day and say that we should speak where the Bible speaks and be silent where the Bible is silent. We should be a brave people. We should recognize that the footprints of Jesus Christ not only lead along the Sea of Galilee, but they lead up to Golgotha, that we are to follow in the steps of Jesus Christ, and we are to be totally dedicated to the cause of Christ. That's what Jesus expects of us. That's what we owe Jesus Christ, who gave His life that we might have hope of eternal life. It's time to pick up the spiritual sword, the Word of God, and go forth into battle. I pray that these three lessons on the religion of Islam have brought to us a new awareness, perhaps even a fear, of those things that are taking place within the world today, that you'll study them, that you'll be moved by them, that they'll make you even a stronger soldier in the cause of Christ. Let your light shine, brethren. Have a good week. Thank you for listening.
Thank you for joining me today. If you enjoy Bible-centered study, why not come visit the Monte Vista Church of Christ? We're located on the west side of 40th Street between McDowell and Thomas Roads. 2202 North 40th Street is our address. We have Bible classes for all ages each Sunday morning at 9:30 and each Wednesday evening at 7. Everyone interested in God's revelation to man is welcome. We also assemble for worship following our Sunday morning Bible classes, and then again on Sunday evenings at 6 o'clock. Until next time, this is Ken Leach, hoping you have unlimited opportunity to let your light shine for Jesus Christ. Amen.